Perhaps we think freedom is something which is absolute. Either person is enslaved or person is free. The question is, as a person moves from slavery to freedom, is this really a sudden, permanent, absolute gesture? Or are there stages? And moreover, is it possible that sometimes those stages include taking a few steps back, even as you continue moving forward? When we meet the Jews in the very beginning of this week's Parsha, in Parsha Bishalach, we find that they're on the run. Paro hears of it. Paro takes chase. And we have an editorial comment from God. And editorial comments, especially from God, are always interesting. And God says he doesn't take them, he won't lead them in the short way, derech eretz plishtim, ki karofu, because it's too close. Which means there really was a quicker way to get these people to the land of Israel. There was a shortcut, but they're not ready. And the reason they're not ready is because God says, God determines, and God has inside information, they're not quite ready to fight yet. And they don't know that. Because they leave and they're armed, they have perhaps primitive arms, and not even arms which are ready to face this Egyptian empire, but certainly not the kind of arms which are necessary to go into a new country and capture that country. But aside from the arms, there's a whole other level of preparedness. And again, that's moving from slavery to freedom. To think as a free person. To think as somebody who's a soldier, to think as an experienced soldier, and not just to think of somebody who yesterday was a slave. Therefore, God takes them a long way around. It's interesting as well if we note there never is a battle against Egypt. God takes care of that battle. And I think it's not just the Jews aren't ready. I think there may be another issue. If we think about last week, in the darkness, Rashi had a very interesting comment. That during the darkness, he asked, what do you need darkness for? So one of the reasons that he gives is that the Jews can look around at the possessions of the Egyptians, and later on, they can ask for them. The reason why that's so interesting, because we would imagine that in a time of darkness, when you have slaves who've been abused, we would have expected looting to take place. Not that they're going to wait and ask for something. They'll just take it. God doesn't let them do that, and Moshe doesn't let them do that, and they don't behave that way. They don't behave as former slaves as far as that goes. There's no looting, and there's no killing. You would have thought that during darkness they could have killed the Egyptians who were at that point terrified. And now again, as they cross through the sea, the Jews don't battle, the Jews don't fight. They have arms, but God doesn't let them fight. And it could even be on a moral level that God wants to teach them something. You don't always have to fight, and you don't always have to take vengeance, and you are already free. You don't have to do anything. God says, this is on me. I have a question. I have a problem with the Egyptians. I'm going to be involved in this. And as they move forward, again, something happens. They find their voices, and they sing, and they praise God. And a little while later, they get terrified. There's no water, and later there's no food, and later there's no water again, and each time they complain. So the reason why this is interesting, because slaves don't really have voices. The Jews found their voices on the one hand to praise God and to sing and to say thanks. On the other hand, they find their voices to complain. And complain and even say, if only we were back in Egypt. Which means we find them taking steps forward and steps backward. Now, the irony in this week's parsha is that aside from these steps forward and backwards, we're told that the reason they're going to take this longer way around is in order to avoid battle, because they're not ready to fight for the land of Israel yet, and yet by the end of the parsha, we find war. Not that we entered Israel immediately, which we could have, but rather someone found us, an old enemy, or an old friend, or an old family member, who now has been revealed as an enemy. And that's Amalek. And over here, once again, we find that a battle now has taken place. Here, again, steps forward, steps backward. Find our voices, utilize those voices to complain. And now suddenly we find what we have been trying to avoid, and that is war. And sometimes war helps us clarify. During this war, Moshe stood on a hill. During this war, Moshe pointed up to heaven. And whenever Moshe pointed up to heaven, they all lifted their heads heavenward, and they prayed, and then they were victorious. The whole process of this week's parsha is to get to this point of lifting our heads to heaven. When we don't have food, it rains down from heaven. We lift our heads up to heaven, and we see the food coming down from heaven. These former slaves are going to, as I said, take sometimes two steps forward and one step backward, and sometimes two steps backward and only one step forward. We're eventually going to get to the land of Israel, but it'll take a long time. There are processes we need to go through. There are steps of freedom that we need to learn. There is expressions of freedom that we need to learn. But most importantly, what we need to learn is how to lift our heads up to heaven, to realize it's not up to us and sometimes our flimsy weapons, although we have to fight at times. But ultimately what victory is going to be about is when we learn that victory in war comes from heaven, and for that matter, food comes from heaven. The Jews in this week's parsha, we slowly get where we need to go. It takes us a couple of months to take a 3-day journey. But during that time, they go forward, they go backwards. But what they do learn is to lift their heads up to heaven.